Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
A massive jolt happened, and I was awakened, and I looked up to see the gentleman that was sitting next to me on the roof of the plane. I'm looking at him fully outstretched with his back on the roof of the plane, and then he came crashing down to the floor. It was insane. I was like, I thought I was dreaming. The plane basically stopped. Like, it almost, the best way to describe it is it's dropped out of the air instantly. And then it started to tail down, like nose down. And then it just picked up, it just kicked into gear and just took off again.
One passenger on a Boeing Dreamliner 787 that was on its way from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand. 50 passengers were injured as that plane just dropped out of the sky for a while, or dropped down, and passengers who weren't belted in were on the ceiling of the aircraft. 50 people injured. I think one or two had to go to hospital. There have been incidents over the last couple of weeks on Boeing 757s that I was on to Switzerland and back. Not the same planes. Well, I don't think so. Tire falling off seconds after takeoff from San Francisco. And the nose wheel of another Boeing 757 airliner broke away while it was taxiing toward takeoff at Atlanta International Airport in January. Tom, get that other clip up from the captains communicating with each other, because it's from this incident where the nose wheel of the Boeing 757 airliner broke away while it was taxiing. Play it.
Delta 982, this is the aircraft looking at you. One of your nose tires just came off. It just rolled off the runway behind you.
Delta 982, tower, sounds like we've got a problem.
Yep, a big problem. You don't want your nose wheel tires falling off. You don't want your tires falling off your plane when you're 8 seconds after you've taken off. And then there were the tragic circumstances of the Boeing 737 MAX 8. Two of them crashed. Everyone on board died. The planes were taken out of service for about 20 months, just a couple of years ago. They're back in service now. And there have been incidents with with those planes, again, over the last couple of weeks. So the FAA is involved. I think there have been criminal charges laid, or at least criminal charges are being considered. And then there was the Boeing whistleblower who was found dead in the parking lot of his hotel a couple of days ago, John Barnett. He just basically finished his testimony against Boeing in the lawsuit. And this is from his testimony. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge of pushing back defects to our suppliers. What that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. I'd take a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems. That's a supplier for Boeing. They're now admitting that they were put in bolts, screwed in bolts where they weren't supposed to be, to inspect 41 sections, the portion of the aircraft extending from the nose to just after the cockpit window. And before they sent it to Charleston, we found 300 defects on this one aircraft. He went on to say some of them were significant and needed engineering intervention. Door plug got blown out of the Air Alaska MAX 8 in January. And the saying used to be, as I said this before today, earlier today, saying used to be, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going. And now, apparently, it's become, if it's Boeing, I'm not going. This is a huge, huge issue, massive issue. So many of these planes are in service. And what is going on? So I reached out to our good friend, Captain Raymond Hall, former head of the Air Canada Pilots Association. He's a lawyer, multi-decade Air Canada captain who flew Boeing airliners on major international routes. Raymond, thank you for coming on. What is this information? And I haven't mentioned all of them, but what does this say to you?
I think your last clip summed it up. We have a problem. We've definitely got a problem. From Boeing's perspective, things started to go south approximately 1997 when it acquired McDonnell Douglas aircraft, the manufacturers of the DC-9 and DC-10 MD-11 aircraft. There was a major corporate shift at that point in time, leading to the transfer of the headquarters of Boeing from Seattle to Chicago, and even more recently now from Chicago to Arlington, Virginia, across the river from Washington, D.C. The company executive was essentially taken over by the administrators of McDonnell Douglas, who were primarily accountants, MBAs, that sort of thing. The ostensible reason for it was to position the company as more than just an airliner manufacturer company. They had space technology and military technology, that sort of thing. But the result of it was a significant departure from the engineering management that had developed the history that led to that expression that you've used, and towards more corporate profits orientation and less inspections. Later, it was complicated, as we know from the 737 MAX, with the FAA essentially deregulating its components and having the inspectors sub-delegated within the Boeing company, so that essentially the fox was looking after the hen house, and a lot of things got away that shouldn't have gotten away. And it would appear that things are still going in that direction with the recent audits that have been done by the FAA of Boeing, numerous failures on inspections. But having said that, and I'm really troubled by the iteration that you have of these events, because it is really seriously concerning, and we do have a problem. But having said that, we do have to keep our perspective in the sense of flight safety over the course of the last several decades has increased substantially, notwithstanding these events, substantially. And it's still approximately 595 times safer to fly than it is to drive. So those are individual events, and nobody's happy with them. I'm certainly not comfortable responding to them. If I can expand a little bit more, there are four components, as I see it, to flight safety. One is the aircraft manufacturer. One is the aircraft maintenance. Then to pilot operations, including dealing with weather and difficult situations. And then there are other factors, more remote, such as exogenous factors like unruly passengers and aircraft getting shot down over Ukraine and Iran, for example. So as far as Boeing is concerned, it's primarily the manufacturing problem that is being addressed now. In terms of the wheels falling off the airplane, the panels falling off perhaps as well, it is more than likely a maintenance problem. I know that Boeing 777 that lost its wheel in San Francisco had been in service for over 10 years, so it really isn't part of the aircraft design so much as the maintenance by the individual airlines. The flight safety is primarily increased as a result of the better technologies, the cockpit technology especially, the use of the autopilots by increasing augmentation of flight crews so there's less fatigue. And the statistics show it, that the number of accidents, the number of incidents are way, way down over what they were just even 10 years ago.
Raymond, I was on a 757 from Pearson Airport in Toronto to Zurich in December, came back on the 757. It was an incredibly smooth and comfortable flight. I had no concerns because at that point, I'd only really heard about the MAX 8 and the 9's having problems.
It was a 787, right, that flies from Toronto to Zurich. But and that is a even more recent aircraft, of course, than the 757, and much higher technology there. But you're right about that.
It's a very fine line, isn't it? It's an extremely fine line when the stories get out, and there are multiple stories about one particular airplane manufacturer. People start to pay attention, and you know, when the whistleblower ostensibly committed suicide, although he told a friend that if he died, it wasn't going to be suicide. He mentioned that on a ABC network affiliate radio television station in Charleston. And his lawyer says, doesn't believe that he committed suicide. So there's a lot going on. So many wheels in motion. What impact does this have on the flying community, on pilots? So if you're a pilot and you're assigned, and you have to be qualified to fly on the plane, of course, if you're assigned and qualified to 737 MAX 8, how do the crews feel about flying those now?
I've spoken, of course, I'm retired from Air Canada now. I've been away for a few years, but I fly quite regularly on Air Canada, and I've talked to the pilots, and they are completely satisfied that the changes that were taken after the 20-month absence have more than corrected the issues there. I think it's now an issue for going forward with the manufacturing in the factory, that the senior management of Boeing really has to get back to the basics, away from the profit orientation and focus. You can't make a profit if you can't build an airplane that's safe. And so the focus has got to be put back onto the manufacturer itself and the processes. And I think the government has a very, very large role to play in that regard by ensuring that the inspections are done on an ongoing basis and thoroughly, so that these things just stop happening.
Yeah, it's not good when a passenger, and you and I have talked previously about privately and on the air about the fact that I'm an uneasy flyer. I don't really like being in aircraft. But so I'm not the most objective observer. But it's not good when, as I was when I was in Orlando, I called Air Canada and said, can we get the flight changed to an Airbus? And it was possible, but they were going to charge us a hefty fee to make the change. But it was just the fact I saw a Boeing MAX 8, and my mind said, nope, got on the plane, we made it. I felt fortunate.
Well, if it's any consolation, Roy, I feel less comfortable in the back than in the driver's seat. Okay.
And yeah, that's true too, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not in control.
But it's a minor, minimal comfort. I have complete confidence in the aircraft, and I certainly have complete confidence in the crews with the training and the technology that's available right now. So it really comes down to numbers, statistically. It's so remote that any particular person is going to have any kind of incident. And further, the incidents themselves are fairly minor. Now, having said that, I was tempted to joke about that fellow being, it sounded like one of my flights, but it really wasn't.
No.
It's a serious matter. Those are so remote, those circumstances, that I don't have any discomfort with getting on the aircraft.
Yeah, no, I understand the statistics, but the statistics mean nothing. The people on the aircraft that's having trouble, right? I mean, you get on the plane, you say, oh, it's more safe than driving to the airport in my car. But when the aircraft starts having trouble, those statistics literally go out the door plug that got blown out of the aircraft. It doesn't help when there's incident after incident after incident.
Right.
And the whistleblower says the quality control wasn't there. And when we told them there were problems with the quality control, they moved us off the line into another kind of job.
And they swept it under the carpet.
Yeah, the visuals are awful. How long do you think it would take for Boeing to reestablish its reputation to where it was when people would say, if it's not Boeing, I'm not going?
At least 2 years, probably closer to five, because you're talking about a complete corporate attitude towards what you're doing, what you're building. You have to establish the confidence by numbers again. You have to get the inspections. You have to have the manager satisfied. You have to change the management itself into a form that has zero tolerance for this type of behavior. And that would take time.
Yeah, I take it you always had complete confidence when you got into onto the flight deck when you sat in the left hand seat.
Well, there's always instances. I mean, we have a thing called the minimum equipment list, which is the list of things that you have to have or you don't go. And quite often, we call them MEL items. And quite often, you get into situations where you're really questioning whether it's safe to go because of the MEL. Maintenance has signed it off and said, okay, you can go on for a little while. And I've had many circumstances where I had to actually call maintenance in some cases say, no, I'm not going.
Yeah.
We're going to get this fixed right okay. now. This problem is deeper than what you're reporting here, and you're not going to shovel it off onto the next station. We're going to get this fixed or we're not going to go.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.